If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, The Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed podcast brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 417. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Toolshed Pod. My apologies for being a few days late with this episode. I know usually I post on Mondays, but just had some stuff going on that made it kind of hard to find a good time to record a podcast, and you know, outside of doing it at like 11 p.m., which I'm just not super keen on recording that late. Had to push it a couple of days, but definitely wanted to get this episode up. And this will be my American League Prospects of the Year. Already did the National League version of this back in episode 415 with Zach Beck of the Dynasty Dugout. So go back and check that out. A lot of great chat in that one. And then episode 416, last week's episode, did an FYPD mock draft with Chris Clegg, Chris Welsh, and James Anderson, obviously three of the best in the business and three of my favorite people to chat with. That was a lot of great, you know, FYPD rankings discussion in there, player discussion, you know, just general strategy, and you know, some other good chatter along the way. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. Again, that's episode 416. And I'll be going through the American League Prospects of the Year in this episode. But before I get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. I've already been cranking out a lot of 2026 content, doing a lot of positional stuff right now, you know, positional redraft rankings, prospect rankings, dynasty rankings. So all of that has been kicking off over the last week or two, and a lot of player profiles as well, just discussing some intriguing names for 2026, how I'm valuing them, digging into the profile, you know, all that good stuff. So definitely a lot of content cranking out over on my Patreon, which again is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, including TeamSync, lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. And if you sign up right now using the code SMASH, S-M-A-S-H, SMASH, you get 50% off. That is awesome. Half off, some great content. And that's for, you know, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, you know, a lot of great content across all the sports on Rotoballer. So definitely check that out. And one last quick note here before I get into all of the player discussion here. I might have mentioned it last podcast because the last podcast was my first one in my new house. So if anything sounds off, I've been doing some, you know, some audio trials here, and I think everything sounds good. But I used to have a wall right in front of me, like about a foot and a half, 2 feet in front of me at my old place. Now I don't. I'm kind of in a talking out into the room here, so I still need to get some soundproofing going on here. So if anything sounds off, I think this sounds pretty good. But if anything sounds off, let me know. So obviously, I want to be putting out the highest quality stuff here. All right. Enough of that. Let's get into it here. Going alphabetically through the American League. So starting with the Athletics, who, since they don't really have a permanent home right now, have jumped from like two-thirds down the list to the number one spot alphabetically in the American League. So we'll start with them. You know, this one was tough. My runners up is I did all these in tweets over, you know, the end of September and the early October. My runners up for the Athletics were Gage Jump and Edgar Montero. So I had a really difficult time picking between Jump and this guy who I ended up going with, Wei-Yin Lin, who just had a really good year in low A, high A, and double A. The ERA did kind of balloon a little bit to 3.72, but he had a 3.24 FIP, 106 whip. That's 87 innings, the 13 starts, 13 relief appearances. They're trying to, you know, keep his innings down a little bit. Only 19 years old, got the double A. That is pretty impressive. 6.3% walk rate, 33.4% strikeout rate, and a 215 batting average against. You know, he is, you know, Lin is not as, you know, exciting as a Gauge Jump, but I feel like he's still pretty underrated. I mean, there's a really good kind of like a fastball changeup combination here. It's a really good feel for the changeup. That is definitely, I'd say, his best pitch all around. He's a four-pitch mix, also mixes in a couple of breaking balls. That changeup, I think, is going to be his best pitch long-term. And it's a solid fastball, kind of like 93 to 95. Generally, you know, good riding action on that. A little bit of a lower arm angle. So kind of a deceptive, you know, fastball, even though he doesn't like blow you away with velocity. You know, it's decent velocity, but also just kind of like the arm slot is, it's kind of hard to pick up. So that makes it a pretty decent fastball as well. Neither of the breakers really stand out, but there's still some time. He's still 19, still has plenty of time to develop one of the breakers into, you know, a legitimate third offering. So we'll see how that comes out. But, you know, as you can kind of tell from that lower walk rate, really good feel here with Wei-Yin Lin. You know, above average to plus command control guy. So he screams like high-end SP4, like a high-floor guy, maybe like a back-end SP3. Again, the upside isn't like astronomical here. You know, there's more upside with Gauge Jump. But, you know, I think Wei-Yin Lin is pretty undervalued, pretty, you know, reasonably priced. I don't think it's going to take a lot to get him in Dynasty Leagues. And I think he's just going to be one of those guys that almost got out. Well, I got the Toronto-Seattle game on here, and when I started recording, it was 2-0 Seattle, and now it's 5-2 Toronto after, who was that? Was that Varshow? This almost left the yard with, what was that, 2 RBI double, driving in Alejandro Kirk, and can't tell who the other guy was he just drove in, but that nearly got out. George Kirby is kind of losing it. All right, sorry. Back to Wei-Yin Lin. Yeah, I think he's just a really undervalued pitching prospect right now. Doesn't get a lot of buzz. So definitely a decent dynasty target there. All right, next up here, going to the Baltimore Orioles. This one was really tough. Baltimore had a lot of options here. You know, obviously, Sammy Basayo would be a good choice here and probably would be the choice of most people. Nate George had a really phenomenal year. He was a big riser. You know, Michael Ferret on the pitching side had a really good year. You know, a few others as well. But ended up going with Dylan Beavers in 94 games in AAA before I got the call up to Baltimore. 304, 420, 515. 14 doubles, 18 home runs, 23 steals, was caught 5 times. 16.3% walk rate, 18.2% strikeout rate. I made a tweet where I said this, where it got some backlash, and I was expecting that. But, you know, I don't see these, I don't put these tweets out or say things just for the reaction. Like, I legit think these things that I say. And this one, I think it says something along the lines of, you know, don't be surprised if Dylan Beavers ends up as a better fantasy asset than Sammy Basayo. You know, Basayo has been the golden boy of this system, the golden boy of just, you know, catching prospect rankings here. So I think that kind of, a lot of people scoffed at that, and that's fine. I get it. You know, Beaver, the pre-value is not as high with Beavers as it is with Basayo. But then when you kind of compare the profiles here, you know, I think you can give, if you look at contact, approach, power, and speed, kind of like the four big, you know, tools, four big areas you kind of look at with hitting prospects, you know, I think you could realistically give three of those four to Beavers. I think, you know, he's been a better contact hitter. the approach, you know, pretty close, but I think you give the slight edge in approach to Beavers. You give the edge in contact to Beavers. Like, not massive, you know, differences there, but I think you give the edge in both of those to Beavers. Obviously, the power goes to Bisayo. I mean, no question about that. You know, Bisayo is plus or better power. Beavers is more like average, so, you know, slightly above average game power. I mean, you look at what he did in AAA, average EV right under 90 miles an hour, hard hit rate of 41%, barrel rate of 9.3%. And then you look at what he did with Baltimore, which I think kind of, you know, flew under the radar a little bit because the metrics are pretty good with Baltimore as well. Obviously, he had a few home runs with them and just really excelled. You know, he had 375 OBP. He only hit 227, but four home runs, two steals, 375 OBP, had a hard hit rate of just 28%, but an average EV of 88.8, barrel rate of 9.3%, 19% walk rate. He's a plus runner as well. So, you know, I think there's a bigger speed gap between him and Bisayo than the power gap between him and Bisayo. So that's like, all right, if you give the, so even if you go, even if you want to say that the contact and approach are even for these two, I still think it's pretty damn close. So, and then this is no slight against Bisayo. Obviously, he's a phenomenal prospect, and I think he's going to be a stud, but I think Beavers could be a really stinky good fantasy asset as well, and he's kind of already shown why. He's just average to above average to plus across the board offensively. Really high floor here with Beavers. I like him a lot. I think he's still pretty undervalued overall. So Beavers is my pick for the Baltimore Orioles. Going to the Boston Red Sox, again, this was another tight one between Peyton Tolley, Yosinsen Garcia, and Connelly Early. Ended up going with Peyton Tolley. And I know he didn't, you know, he had the one good outing on his debut against Paul Skeens. Then he kind of, you know, stumbled a bit with Boston, but hard to argue what he did in, you know, the minor leagues. 20 games total, 18 starts, 91 and two-thirds innings, 304 ERA, 0.99 whip, 275 FIP, 6.3% walk rate, 36.5% strikeout rate, 201 batting average against. He was right up there in, you know, the elite tier of strikeout rate, strikeout minus walk rate, you know, batting average against, whip, all of that in the minor leagues. Really was, became one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball, even though, you know, he didn't impress in the majors after that first outing. I mean, I'm still incredibly high. Like, that should not shy you away at all, especially when you look at the stuff that Peyton Tolley has. You know, on top of having a phenomenal mustache, which I think has to factor in to any rankings or evaluation, you know, he's got a mid to upper 90s fastball, averages like 96, 97 on that. We saw him when he was in relief down the stretch with Boston, you know, hitting 99 to 100. So you know he can reach back and kind of get up there in the upper registers. You know, he also goes with a upper 80s cutter, upper 80s changeup, low to kind of mid 80s curveball, like 82, 83. And then a mid to upper 80s slider as well. But really the four seam and the cutter is what he kind of leaned on heavily. But he can miss bats. You know, the cutter, and then this was Boston, the cutter had a 36% whiff rate, changeup at a 44% whiff rate. So the tools are there for him to be a high end pitcher in this game. I'm not saying an ace. I don't like using that term very often. And I wouldn't use it with Tolley, but I think he could be a number two. Absolutely. So definitely believing in what we saw from him in the minor leagues. And I'm hoping he's a part of the Red Sox rotation in 2026, which still feels weird to say 2026, but yeah, definitely got to see how the offseason plays out because, you know, do they bring back Giolito? Do they go out and get a Joe Ryan or one of those types? You know, who kind of gets the head up between him and Early? So we'll see. Maybe he's back in Worcester to start the year. Kind of hard to say at this point, but still very bright future. So don't let the lackluster overall debut with Boston shy you away, because this is a very talented arm with very high upside and a bright future. So go out and get Peyton Tolley. You know, that guy is absolutely legit. All right, next up here, we're going to the AL Central with the Chicago White Sox. My pick here was Caleb Bonnemer. A little bit of shortstop, a little bit of third base this year. 19 years old in 476 plate appearances between low A and high A. / 281, 401, 473. 30 doubles, 12 home runs, 29 steals, 15.8% walk rate, and a 21.2% strikeout rate. So pretty solid approach right off the bat from Caleb Bonnemer. He's a above average runner. I mean, he's not a burner by any means, but I think this guy's a solid runner that's going to provide some decent stolen base totals. I'm not sure about 30 plus, but give him 20, 25 steals over a full year. I think that's absolutely possible. He's shown above average contact skills, above average approach right now, and I think there's above average power potential. I mean, he's still kind of growing into that power, but there's still some projection left on his frame. He just turned 20 about a week and a half or so ago in early October. So I think there's still some chance you see him bulk up a little bit, maybe be an above average power bat long term. Maybe this guy could be a 20-20 threat with a decent average and a decent OBP. I mean, I don't like comps at all, but like one of those, like if everything clicks, like high end comp, I won't say a full on Zach Neto, but maybe like a 90% of Zach Neto. I think this could be like a similar type of skill set potentially, if Bonnemer kind of does all these things that I just said. But yeah, really solid year for Caleb Bonnemer. Kind of wonder where he winds up between, short and third. Obviously Colson Montgomery's over there too. So wonder, kind of how they organize those two. But Bonnemer is a really fun all-around prospect, very fantasy friendly profile. Had a contact rate again of about 77% this year. Swing and strike rate of just 8.5%, and didn't really seem fazed by getting the bump up to high A end of the year. Had a OBP over 400 there, a couple home runs in 11 games, as a 19-year-old. So facing more advanced competition and really excelling. So a guy that's in my top 100 easily, guy that's pushing top 50 at this point. And I think definitely deserves a ranking that high. Not sure if the perceived value is that high yet, which makes him a good target right now. But yeah, Caleb Bonnemer, my pick for the Chicago White Sox, going over to their division, I don't know if they're rivals, but their division, running mate there, I guess you want to say, in the AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians. Went with Braylon Doughty, 19-year-old, in low A, right-hander, 22 starts, 85 and a third innings, 3.48 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, 2.84 FIP, 6.4% walk rate, and a 27.3% strikeout rate. Did have a little bit of a higher batting average against of 2.51, but definitely showed that he can miss bats at a pretty solid clip. Not a big guy. He's about like 6'1", 6'2", about 200 pounds. Think he can add a little bit of bulk here moving forward, but a really, really good potential three-pitch mix here. He throws four. Changeup is definitely behind the rest of the offerings, but it's a low to mid-90s fastball, plenty of riding action, and Doughty really knows how to spin it. Like, he has a curveball, which is kind of more, 11-5 action. He also has a slider as well. This is, two really, really good breaking balls. Like, that curveball is absolutely filthy. Like, just go out and look for, Twitter it, Braylon Doughty curveball or something. I'm sure you can find some video on it because it is a really, really beautiful, pitch. I love me a good, hard breaking curveball, and he definitely has that. It's about 80 miles an hour, but a lot of downward action on that. Slider's more in the mid-80s. This is just a guy that just gets a lot of spin on everything he throws. And, the guy that I had some, questions on, sometimes you see like these high spin rate guys not be able to really locate these offerings, but command and control hasn't really been a big issue for Doughty, at least not to the extent that I thought it could be when Cleveland drafted him. So, again, he kept the walk rate in check. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be, above, 55 grade command and control guy, but if he can just be right around average command and control, which kind of worries at right now. I think you can see him really shoot up prospect rankings even further. You know, high-end, mid-rotation starter, kind of the upside here. Obviously, good pitch dev in Cleveland. Definitely an intriguing arm here to target in Dynasty League. So, he already rose up rankings this year and could definitely rise further. My runners-up for Cleveland were Ralphie Velasquez and Alphonso Rosario. And I don't think I mentioned my runners-up for the White Sox. That was Christian Oper and Sam Antonacci for the White Sox. All right, so over to the Detroit Tigers. Is there any surprise who it is? I mean, shouldn't be. Kevin McGonigal, the professor, as he's been called because of the last name, in reference to Professor McGonigal from Harry Potter. Just an insanely good year from McGonigal this year. Low A, high A, double A, 397 combined plate appearances, 305, 408, 583 slash line, 31 doubles, 9 home runs, 19 home runs, 10 steals, was caught 7 times, 14.9% walk rate, 12.6% strikeout rate. So to have, I remember I tweeted it out somewhere, I can't find it right now, but there weren't many, and there haven't been many prospects, you know, his age or just in general, have an ISO above 275 and more walks than strikeouts. You don't really see that too often. Was that Springer again? George Springer, home run, third home run this postseason. Man, Springer's having himself a postseason. That guy had such a good year. Man, I love watching baseball while I'm podcasting. I love my new setup in my office. I got the game over there on mute while I'm recording a podcast, while I'm writing. Gotta love it. And Springer absolutely tattooed that. All right, what's that now? 6-2 Toronto. They're making a case to stay in the series. I thought Seattle was going to run away with it, but now Toronto, if they can get this, get back to 2-1 in the series, maybe they can make this a long series. But back to McGonigal here. I mean, you look at the top of any prospect rankings right now, and it's him and Connor Griffin in some order. I mean, I think that's clear cut top tier right now. It's kind of hard to argue anyone else in that tier. DeVries, Made, Basayo, all these guys are more so tier two guys. It's McGonigal. It's Griffin. I have Griffin 1, McGonigal 2. I think there's more upside with McGonigal. I mean, with Griffin, but McGonigal is probably the safest prospect in the game. Like this, the guy's blend of contact, approach, good power too, which doesn't get talked about enough. Like I saw him and Max Clark go back to back home runs when they were here end of the season in Portland to start the game. That was pretty fun, but. And it does have to clean up, the base path, not the greatest efficiency there, 10 out of 17 on stealing bags, but, not supposed to be a burner anyway. I think he's more of like a 12 to 15 steal guy, but he could be 20 plus home runs, high average, high OBP. I mean, this guy's blend of hit and approach is arguably the best in the minor leagues right now. So Kevin McGonigal, my Detroit prospect of the year for 2025. Runners up for Josue Briseño, who everyone knows I love, and Troy Melton too, who had a stinky good year on the pitching side. Next up, the Houston Astros going Zach Cole over runners up for Ethan Pecco and Bryce Matthews in 416 plate appearances between AA and AAA. Also got a cup of coffee with the Astros. Cole slash 279, 377, 539, 22 doubles, 7 triples, 19 home runs, 18 steals, and a 12.5% walk rate. That all sounds pretty good, right? I mean, all those numbers are pretty good. Slash line looks good. Almost went 20-20 in just 97 games. But I kind of left out one metric there. 35% walk rate, or 35.1. to be exact. Yeah, that's a slight red flag. And it's not like he was, much lower than that in previous years. In 2024, it was actually higher, 37.7% in 2024. In 2023, 31.8%. The last time he was under 30% in the season was 2022, when he was between the complex level and low A. But he still had a 27%
strikeout rate that year while being older for the levels that he was at. So, you know, there's a fun little power speed blend here with Zach Cole, and you kind of saw a little bit of that with Houston. He had 4 home runs, 3 steals in 15 games with them, but also a 38.5% strikeout rate. So I just don't think you're going to see Zach Cole make enough contact. That's just, you know, that's just, he doesn't have it. He just does not make enough contact in general. Again, it's good power, good speed, but there's way too much swing and miss. He's got to clean that up. You know, and this has been a long going issue, as I mentioned. So it's not like, you know, this is not easy to kind of like, oh yeah, just trim the strikeout rate 7-8% and get it under 30%. He'll be fine. Yeah, that might be true, but also way easier said than done. So I don't know if he's ever a guy that makes enough contact, that keeps the K rate in check enough to be a full-time regular. Maybe he's one of those fun fourth outfield types that when he gets in, he might have a hot week or two. So you end up picking him up off the waiver wire, but then he goes one for his next 35 with 12 strikeouts or something like that. So, yeah, Zach Cole, not really a guy I'm looking to invest in long-term, but he did have a pretty good year, that is for sure. So he gets the nod here as my Houston Astros prospect of the year.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now over to the Kansas City Royals. Ended up going with Carter Jensen here for my Royals Prospect of the Year in 2025. Though huge shout-outs to Kendry Churio and David Shields. This was really, really tough. You can make a strong case for either of these three. And Shields and Churio had phenomenal years. And, you know, even when I was typing up the tweet originally, I think I actually put all three of them up there in the winner spot at one point, and then I ended up finally settling on Jensen. But really, it's really like 1A, 1B, 1C, you know, three-place tie here. But did go with Jensen in 111 games in AA and AAA before his call-up to the Royals, 290, 377, 501, 20 doubles, 20 home runs, 10 steals, 12.2% walk rate, and a 20.4% strikeout rate. And then he fared well, you know, with the Royals as well. And kind of a lot of intrigue here with him heading into 2026, where, you know, he might be like a, you know, top 15 type of catcher. Even at a pretty loaded catcher position that has a lot of good young talent. But Jensen hit 300, 391, 550 with the Royals, 3 dingers in 69 plate appearances, and a lot of red on that Savant page. I know it's small sample size, only 69 plate appearances, so not a huge sample size, but quality of contact was phenomenal. With Kansas City, 20.8% barrel rate, a 95.4-mile-an-hour average exit velocity, 58.3% hard hit rate with a 13% walk rate, 17.4% K rate. You know, contact rate was pretty good, about 75.5%. Chase rate was good at 24%. Bat speed was already in like the upper 15 or so percent of major league hitters. XBA was 355. XSlug was 660. XWOBA 463. Again, small sample size, but a really good small sample size from Carter Jensen. And, I mean, he was hitting the ball hard in the minor leagues as well. It wasn't like this was just like, oh, in the major leagues he did this. No, in the minor leagues this year in AAA, he had a 94-mile-an-hour average EV, 59.5% hard hit rate, and a 15% barrel rate. Did have a lower contact rate, 69%, but the zone contact rate was still pretty decent as well. So like, I don't think he's going to be an above-average contact guy, but I think he'll be around an average contact guy, you know, that guy that gets on base at a decent clip. And I think there's 20-plus homers in the bat, and you know, he's not a burner by any means. He's not really a super-fast guy, but he's athletic. So probably a catcher that could add at least something in the stolen base department, even if it's like 5-8. I think you can definitely see that from Carter Jensen. I think he's a good shot to kind of run with an everyday role with the Royals in 2026. So definitely a lot of fun up-and-coming prospects here with the Royals. Jensen gets the nod here, but again, huge shout-out to Kendry Churio and David Shields, two phenomenal young pitching prospects that need to be, you know, on your radar and, you know, potentially added in dynasty leagues, because those guys are on the rise for sure. So like all three of those names there. So Carter Jensen gets it, though. Going over to the Los Angeles Angels, and we're going with Rowdy Rodriguez. You know, there wasn't really any guys in that Angels system that really stood out to me, but Rowdy Rodriguez had a pretty solid season here in the lower levels of the minors. In low A, I should say. He was only at one level this year. 125 games, 560 plate appearances, 281, 372, 470 slash line, 21 doubles, 14 triples, 14 home runs, a lot of extra base hits there, 38 steals, only caught six times, 11.3% walk rate, and a 23.2% strikeout rate. Runners up for the Angels are Ryan Johnson, who pitched really well after pitching not well out of relief for the Angels in the Major League bullpen, which still is a really weird move for them to make. I don't know why they did that. Very, very peculiar. But once you get back down and like in the minor leagues and actually was, you know, starting and, you know, doing his thing, Johnson had a really good year. And then Gabriel Devavio, catcher in the low levels of the minors, was pretty good as well. So those two are the runners up. But it goes to Rowdy Rodriguez. A guy that, you know, it's had a really, like I said, a really good all-around season. Again, doesn't really get a lot of love in terms of, you know, kind of like fantasy-focused prospect rankings here. But it's kind of a fun little blend of tools here. I mean, he's 22 years old right now. You know, decent little power-speed blend here. I don't think he's going to be, you know, super high in either. But just a guy that I think can contribute across the board offensively, you know, makes decent contact, you know, that, or, well, I shouldn't say decent. It got better this year up to about 71%. Still a little bit of swing and miss there, 14% swing strike rate. But he started using, you know, going to center field and opposite field more, which is nice to see. He was super, super pull heavy in the past, but got a little more patient this year. As well. So definitely some steps in the right direction. So some things to work on, but good athlete, some sneaky pop in the profile as well. So if he keeps getting that contact rate trending in the right direction, you know, maybe you see him sneaking in some top 100 lists at some point, but definitely not one of the more heralded names out of all these names I'm talking about this episode. But Rowdy Rodriguez, my Los Angeles Angels prospect of the year. Next up here, going to the Minnesota Twins, and kind of a guy that's becoming one of my favorites. It's one of my personal favorite prospects in baseball, and that's Kalen Culpepper. Shortstop prospect, 22 years old, in 113 games, 517 plate appearances between AA and High A, slash 289, 378, 469, 16 doubles, 20 home runs, 25 steals, only caught four times, 9.7% walk rate, and a 17.4% strikeout rate. Runners up were Clyde Rosario and Gabriel Gonzalez, a couple of outfield prospects there. But yeah, Culpepper gets the nod here for the Twins. I mean, you know, Jenkins didn't play enough, in my opinion, to get, you know, the consideration here. Emmanuel Rodriguez obviously didn't play enough. He never does. But, yeah, 2025 year from Culpepper. He went 11 home runs, 10 steals, and 59 double-A games with a 285, 367, 460 slash line. Nothing with Culpepper just, like, super stands out. No, though he's above average speed, you know, average to above average raw power, you know. And, you know, he's a decent defender as well. I think he can stick at shortstop long term. Not really sure. There's a lot of physical projection left. I think he's kind of maxed out already. But so I wouldn't expect more than like a 15 to 20 homer guy, but that can come with 20 plus steals. And he's an above average contact and approach guy as well. Contact rate was around 76% this year. You know, walk rate nearly 10%. He's always had a nice, you know, sub 20% strikeout rate as well. So again, not flashy, nothing that really stands out. Not a guy that's going to wow you, but it does a lot of things well on the field and a lot of things that can help fantasy managers down the road. And I think he's got a fairly high floor as well. I think you see him maybe later on next year. I bet you he probably starts in AAA. So maybe even mid-season, you can see Culpepper up with the Twins. You know, as we know, the Twins have traded away a lot of guys. They've always had some injury issues there in Minnesota. So I think you see Culpepper up for a decent chunk of the 2026 season. So still underrated overall, I think. A guy that can also help you in 2026. So very appealing prospect for a number of reasons. So go out and get Culpepper. I think he's definitely undervalued. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just went guard. There we go. It's 7-2 Toronto now. A lot of home runs this game. I mean, anybody who's watching it, obviously you'll be listening to this the day after the game, but if anybody was watching it, this has been a pretty fun game. We'll see if Seattle can come back. What is it? Top five right now? But yeah, Toronto's just definitely powering up here. Kirby's still in. Is that still Kirby? Obviously, I'm only like half watching the game here, because I'm recording a podcast, but is that still Kirby in this game? Yeah, that is still Kirby in this game. All right. I think they're just trying to save the bullpen at this point. But all right, now it's 7-2 Toronto. All right. Let's see who's up here. Minnesota was last. Now we're going over to, this guy. New York Yankees, Spencer Jones was my pick. Elmer Rodriguez Cruz and Ben Hess were my runners-up, both pretty good years on the pitching side. A lot of good years on the pitching side for the Yankees this year, but Jones gets the nod here. 274, 362, 571 slash line, 23 doubles, 35 home runs, 29 steals. That's in 506 plate appearances, 11.5% walk rate, but yeah, that strikeout rate, 35.4%. That's really been the issue for him for a long time now. And I think it's always going to be the issue for Spencer Jones. Like, I'm getting tired of talking about him as a prospect. He's one of those guys where I'm just hoping he graduates soon. Like, come on, Yankees, bring him up so I don't have to rank him as a prospect. They'll obviously also be talking about him and ranking him in my dynasty rankings and my redraft rankings. But I just want to get him off my prospect rankings here. I mean, it was a great year. You know, on the surface, you know, you can't really scoff at a, you know, 35 homer, 29 steal year, you know, with a 11.5% walk rate, good slash line. But there was that one little stretch, like, you know, 2/3 of the way through the season, where, you know, you saw the K rate start going down, you saw the contact rate start going up. So it's kind of like thinking, all right, is he starting to figure it out? Because even if he's 40 grade hit tool, like, that's the thing. We don't need him to be like 75% contact. That would be phenomenal. But with his power, with his athleticism and speed, like, if he's even like a upper 60% contact rate guy and like a upper 70 zone contact rate guy and keeps the K rate in the vicinity of 30%, this could be an absolute freaking beast. That's the thing. Like, you don't need him to be above average contact. Just be like 40 grade in those areas. Just be not terrible, not atrocious, and you're probably a stud, especially with that left-handed power at Yankee Stadium. Are you kidding me? Like, if everything clicks for Spencer Jones, it's literally a 50 homer bat. in Yankee Stadium. Like this is a potential 50-20 guy. So that's why he's obviously so polarizing, so exciting, so hard to rank, so hard to value. You know, you see evaluations and rankings of him all over the board. Easily one of the toughest prospects to rank right now, but I just need to see him make some sort of strides more than a few weeks in the contact and strikeout department to be, you know, comfortable ranking him highly. And yeah, I bought in, I drank the Kool-Aid. I moved him way up in that midseason when he was kind of showing progress there. I drank the Kool-Aid, I fully admit it. So I moved him back down, but he's still top 100 for me. Kind of hard not to have him top 100 right now. It's given the upside, but I don't know what I want to do with him. I don't know if I want to recommend to buy, to sell. He is so hard, but, you know, obviously he's only going to be traded for Paul Skeens if you're the Yankees. So, you know, that's you got that at least. But Spencer Jones, my Yankees 2025 prospect of the year. Next up here, we're going to the Seattle Mariners. This was a really tough one. I mean, they had several guys. You know, the three I ended up going with in my tweet, runners up were Lazar Montez and Michael Arroyo. Very high on Arroyo. Everyone should know that. Montez, I have my issues with his contact skills, but obviously the power is there. But the winner for the Mariners in a loaded, exciting system, as always, Cole Emerson, 20 years old, went through three levels this year, high A, double A, and triple A. 130 games, 600 plate appearances on the nose, 285, 383, 458 slash line, 28 doubles, 16 home runs, 14 steals, only was caught five times, 11.8% walk rate, and a 17.5% strikeout rate. You know, I've said often that I do think Emerson is going to be a better real-life player than fantasy. But that doesn't mean I don't think he's going to be a decent fantasy option. You know, I think he's still a pretty good all-around fantasy player. Just not a guy that's got to, you know, rack up the power and speed numbers here. I think he's probably 15 to 20 home runs, around 15 steals. But, hey, if he can get like 15 or even a little bit more than that, you know, with his contact, with his approach, you know, he was around 79% contact, you know, last year. You know, and, you know, actually it was around, 79-80% contact, you know, this past season. You know, he's always been kind of like 80% or above in the minor leagues. You know, always has a good walk rate, keeps the K rate in check. You know, even as a 19-year-old in AAA, you know, he just turned 20. He was already 20 at the time he got the AAA. He turned 20 in middle part of July. So as a young 20-year-old in AAA, had two home runs and a steal in six games, 364, 444, 727 slash line. Obviously, only 27 plate appearances there, but held his own and looked pretty good, you know, all season through high A, double A, and AAA. Really steamrolled through double A. He was only there for 34 games. So, you know, while he's probably more of a high floor guy, there's definitely some solid upside here. Good all-around profile. Again, I won't expect anything, you know, over 20 home runs or steals, but 15+, 15, you know, kind of power speed guy with a high average, good OBP as well. So this is a nice, well-rounded, high floor profile for a Cole Emerson. So definitely a guy that should be targeted. He's still a top 25 prospect for me. So again, saying that he's a better real-life guy than fantasy is not an insult. I know it's not exciting to hear on a fantasy-focused podcast like this, but, you know, that's not an insult. He's still a very, very good hitter. And if I ranked on floor for prospects right now, he'd be top 10. He'd probably be in that back end top 10 range. So kind of like a poor man's McGonagall. Yeah, I think less of an impact than McGonagall, but, you know, definitely could be kind of a similar profile, just scaled back a little bit. So Cole Emerson, my Seattle Mariners 2025 prospect of the year. We got a few more teams here. We're hopping over to the Tampa Bay Rays. Ty Johnson gets the nod here. 24-year-old, double A right-hander, 110 and a third innings pitched this year. 261 ERA, 0.94 WHIP, 233 FIP, 8.8% walk rate, 34.7% strikeout rate, and a 172 batting average against. I think Johnson's a reliever long term. I don't think Ty Johnson is a starter. I mean, it's not so much like there's like massive command and control issues here, because there's not. I mean, you know, he's kind of like a fringe average command control guy. You know, the walk rate was fine. He saw about 8.5%. It's just he hasn't really established a third pitch. He's above average fastball, kind of 93, 94, kind of ticks up a little bit there. I think it's an above average fastball, and it's a really good slider. Plus slider, mid-80s, you know, hard two-plane break there. That's his go-to pitch for swing and miss. But just the changeup hasn't really kind of even been there as a fringe average offering. So that's kind of the reason why I think Ty Johnson is a reliever long-term. They have not gone that route yet. They still kind of have been using him as a starter predominantly. So we'll see kind of what transpires there as he gets up to AAA and closer to Tampa Bay in 2026. But I think he could be a pretty fun, like, seventh, eighth inning arm for Tampa Bay. It's not a guy I'm, like, really looking to invest in just because of the lack of a third offering and the uncertain role in the future. So really good year for Ty Johnson, but not a guy that I'm running out to get either in Dynasty. But he gets the nod there for Tampa Bay, with the runners-up being Bob Seymour and Ian Seymour. I didn't realize that with two Seymours there in the runners-up. But Ty Johnson for Tampa Bay. The Texas Rangers, one of the biggest pitching prospect breakouts this year was Caden Scarborough. Phenomenal year. So he gets the prospect of the year here for Texas. 20 years old between low A and high A. 21 starts, 22 overall appearances, 88 innings, 2.45 ERA, 0.88 WHIP, 2.94 FIP, 6.1% walk rate, 33.2% strikeout rate, and only a 178 batting average against. Phenomenal year. He's taller, lankier right-hander, kind of like a Mick Abel build, kind of like that taller, skinnier right-hander, though I think he has added a little bit of bulk over the last year, kind of from what I've seen, just from looking at a video of him, like, you know, a year ago to now, so he has bulked up a little bit. But, you know, this is a guy where he wasn't highly touted coming into the draft 2 years ago. He was a sixth rounder, 171st overall pick. That just shows you, like, some of those back end FYPD guys can really pop. Maybe he wasn't even a guy that was drafted at all in FYPD, just given where he was drafted and just the lack of hype around him. But it's a pretty good three-pitch mix, fastball, slider, and a split change. The split change really kind of ticked up this year. It's still his third offering, but, you know, that was kind of a below average pitch. And I think it's now around an average offering. And, you know, when he does command it well, it's got good movement on it. You know, it dips down and away from lefties. So it's becoming a more reliable, decent kind of out pitch for against lefties. But, you know, slider is above average to plus slider. In the mid-80s, and a fastball that's, you know, mid-90s, touching higher as well. So I think definitely the added bulk that he had over the last year definitely helped that fastball tick up even further. I mean, he's been up in the upper 90s now. He sits more mid-90s now, but, you know, this is a guy where everything is just trending in the right direction. You know, the frame got better, fastball ticked up, split change ticked up as well. You know, I think he's a above average command and control guy as well. So really is a lot of things to like here with Caden Scarborough, a guy that you probably see do some high A, double A action here in 2026. And honestly, you know, he's already kind of creeping up there. He's already top 100 for some people. I think you could see Scarborough be like a top 10 caliber pitching prospect by, I'll say, midseason. I think Burns will get off the list early next year. So I think you're going to have, I think, a couple of the guys that, you know, debut and get off the list in the first half of next year. So by like midseason, by the All-Star break, I think there's a good chance we're talking about Caden Scarborough as a top 10 pitching prospect in the game. So very high, you know, high regards for Caden Scarborough here, my Texas Rangers prospect of the year. All right, last but not least, we're going with a guy who just had a phenomenal postseason start like a week or so ago, Treya Savage for the Toronto Blue Jays, guy that I've seen a couple of times this year back when he was in Double-A, went across four levels this year. Felt like he was like a stall-out in Single-A for the longest time, but once he got that first promotion, he was at the next three levels pretty quickly. So really, he pitched at five levels this year. I don't remember the last. I have to look. I don't know how I can even figure this out. But any prospect playing at five levels in the season. So he went from, and really like with Toronto, their prospects are kind of, or their affiliates, excuse me, are really like all across the country. So they go from low A is Dunedin in Florida. High A is Vancouver. So you're going from the southeast of Florida to Vancouver, Canada. And then you go over to Double A, New Hampshire in the northeast. And then to Triple A Buffalo, so still northeast. And so then Toronto. So you're all kind of northeast there, but go from like southeast to northwest to northeast, kind of all over the place here. And your Savage handled it well. You know, 22 starts, 98 innings, 312 ERA, 097 WHIP, 252 XFIP. Should be 252 FIP, actually, excuse me. 10.5% walk rate, 41.1% K rate, and a 156 batting average against. You know, Treya Savage, the splitter for your Savage is downright filthy. I love me a good splitter. I've always had a soft spot for good splitters. You know, growing up, you know, obviously with being a Red Sox fan. And now he's, you know, I don't like this guy, but Kurt Schilling had a really good splitter when he was here for his entire career. But seeing his splitter, you know, Roger Clemens splitter, you know, you got Koji Uehara's splitter. I'm just going with Red Sox guys. I've always had a really good, you know, Papelbon had a good splitter, just always loved a good splitter. And Treya Savage absolutely has one. Like this is, I'd say a 70 grade splitter. I mean, it's that good. You know, mid-80s, you're on 85 or so, 84, 85, you know, super high whiff rate on it this year. And then look at what he did in the major leagues. Had a 57% whiff rate on that splitter. Also a upper 80s slider and a mid-90s fastball as well. You know, the upside here is a number two starter in major leagues with elite strikeout upside. But the reason, like the one issue I have with Treya Savage is that he was just kind of inconsistent in terms of just locating and got himself into trouble with walks at times or just not locating pitches, being over the heart of the plate too much, you know, with his fastball. That's like the one little nitpick I have with the Savage where maybe he's not quite as consistent as you'd like to have from one of your top guys, but upside is absolutely there. You know, we see, I mean, obviously, you know, pitching like he did in the postseason a week ago, I mean, showed the upside that he has. And he is the upside to be one of the highest strikeout rate guys in the major leagues. And I think that happens right away. So maybe the ERA and WHIP are a little bit higher next year, but the upside is through the roof with the Savage, one of the best pitching prospects in the game. Five levels this year, just absolutely phenomenal ascension from your Savage. So he is my Toronto prospect of the year. Runners up were Gage Stanifer, really good year from him, and Yohenryk Panongo. But that's going to wrap me up here. So to recap my prospects of the year for the American League, again, National League was done in a different episode, episode 415. But American League prospects of the year, Athletics was Wei-In Lin, the Baltimore Orioles, Dylan Beavers. Boston Red Sox was Peyton Tolley. Chicago White Sox, Caleb Bonimer. Cleveland Guardians, Braylon Doughty. Detroit Tigers, Kevin McGonigal. Houston Astros, Zach Cole. Kansas City Royals, Carter Jensen. Los Angeles Angels, Rowdy Rodriguez. The Minnesota Twins, Kalen Culpepper. The New York Yankees, Spencer Jones. The Seattle Mariners was Colt Emerson. The Tampa Bay Rays, Ty Johnson. Texas Rangers, Caden Scarborough. And Toronto Blue Jays, Treya Savage. So again, that's going to wrap me up. Thanks for everyone for tuning in again this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back with you again on Monday for my next episode. But until then, everyone take care.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.